Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank and exhort you once again. We appreciate you, Lord, for your love. We magnify you for your holy name. We come once again that we might receive instructions. We demand, O Lord, that you open us up by your Spirit to receive from you and cause us to walk in the light of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we want to start a series today, which I hope to continue. Maybe when we come back next year, that is something that's very important that the Lord whispered to me. It's relevant we understand why we are existing. So, some we call it purpose, others we call it, for me, I'm just asking the question, why are you here? All right. Why are you here? That's the question I'm asking. Like I said, others could call it purpose. And it's important you understand this because you are not just here by accident. Neither are you here just because you are here. And so you just live your life and then you die and then maybe you go to heaven or something like that. And I also want you to understand that you existed long ago before you came here. And in your coming here, it was for a purpose. Very much in the hands of God. He determined your coming here for a purpose. He planned your coming here for a purpose. And he ordained that you're here to fulfill that purpose before you go back to him. So, in the course of this series, we're going to be able to discover why we are here. And that will cause you to go back home and that you pray and find out exactly why you are existing here. Hallelujah. And I'll make you understand that sometimes when we talk about issue of purpose, whatever comes to mind is maybe in relation to ministry, we always think about maybe being a pastor or something like that. But what I'm about to share with you go beyond being a pastor. Everywhere you find yourself, you have a definite reason and purpose why you're here. But I'm going to use the life of two people specifically to illustrate to you why it's important that you discover why you're here. Praise God. So let's take our test. We're going to use this as our main test, Isaiah 49 verse number 1 and 2. Isaiah 49 verse number 1 and 2. Listen, O eyes, unto me. And I can hear people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother had he made mention of my name. And then he said, and he had made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand had he hid me, had made me a polished shaft. In his quiver had he hid me. Verse 3 said, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to get, like the verse 1, very important. Isaiah actually speaking here is Isaiah. Listen, O eyes, as islands, and hearken to me, all ye people, from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. Now I want you to understand from where this calling began. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. It means before you ever came here, God did not only know you, but he assigned you for something. Now, the word name is the word Shem in the Hebrew. It means through the idea of definite or conspicuous position. Call me by my name means a definite, the word name means a definite and conspicuous position as a mark of memorial of individuality by implication, honor, authority, and character. The thing I want you to pick there is definite and conspicuous position. By implication, there is something specific. There is a position specifically designed by God for him to occupy. And the next thing is a mark of memorial of an individuality. Meaning, every individual have a conspicuous positioning which is definite that God has ordained for each and every one of us. And from this position, we have honor, we have authority, and we have character that defines us. For instance, the character of Jesus is a lamb in the first place. That's part of his character, a lamb, the Lamb of God. Okay? And being a Lamb of God means he's humble. You know, you can describe all of that in relation to his personality. His individuality is found in the commission that he's gotten from God. That is a redeemer, the Lamb, and he who is come for the salvation of mankind. So your character is defined by your assignment from the hand of God. And the point is, this is not what is found in what you probably may call the local church or church assembly. What I'm trying to say is this. All of these things have been put in place before you came here. You existed in this dimension before you came here. Meaning, he sent you here to accomplish that character that defines your individuality. Now, I want you to get this right. Your character, which is morally your name, is not David. It's not Paul. It's not Joseph or Josephine. That is not the name I'm talking about. The name is what defined your assignment as an individual. And it's very specific. That means my assignment is not your assignment as far as life is concerned. And the assignment that you find yourself in, which is what God designed you for, is what gives you honor, is what gives you authority, and is what gives you your character. Are you with me? Please, I want you to get this point right. Because you are not here, like I said, by accident. You are not here just to fill the population of a country in terms of population census, you know, that is not why you're here. And that is because you existed from the very beginning, even in the hands of God. Let's look at something. We'll come back here. Jeremiah 1 is the popular thing, scripture I used to quote for you. Jeremiah verse 4, number 5. Hallelujah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nation. Very specific. Very specific. What is specific here? You are a prophet that I've ordained, and then the boundary of his operation was defined, which is to the nations. Very specific. So Isaiah is saying, you know me by name, you call me by name. That is not a, you call me Isaiah. No, that's not what it means. You define for me what I am going to do before I came out of my mother's womb. Meaning, being in your mother's womb is not even the beginning of your life, but that is just the position at which, or the time frame at which, you were brought forth to carry out that specific assignment that defines your name. So your name is not Paul, your name is not Agnes. All of those things, they are names given to you by mankind to identify you, but that's not your real name. Your real name is who you are supposed to be in the hands of God, and why you are here. That's what defines you. Are you there with me? Now, listen. For instance, you have people who are medical practitioners. When you want to refer to them, you call them doctor. You say doctor this, doctor that. You first call them doctor. That's what really defines them. You're trying to describe who they are. So it's not maybe Dr. Michael or Dr. James. James is just an appellation given to that individual. But the real person is a doctor. You call John the Baptist. Why do you call him John the Baptist? Because his calling was to baptize people, to identify Jesus. So the baptism is a mission. So why you are here is to fulfill a mission, and that becomes what you call your purpose. Now if you miss that, you miss it ultimately as far as what God has in mind for you is concerned. Praise the Lord. And who you are is not determined by who somebody else is. That is why, as I'm going to be making you see this, if you understand what I'm about to teach you, you come to the place of contentment in life. Your success is not defined by another man's success. Your success is defined by you fulfilling what they call you to do. Amen. So, before I formed thee in the womb, in the belly I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. And that's very crucial, you understand that as well. And I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, God didn't say this to all people. Everything that Jeremiah would need to function as a prophet, God has put that into his life, into his mind, into his system. And that was not done in the church. Now, we're going to talk more about that. So, get a point here. When Jeremiah said, Isaiah said, what did he say there? The Lord had called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, had he made mention of my name. I told you the word the name is Shem, which means to the idea of definite and conspicuous position, and it speaks of a mark of memorial individuality. By implication, a thing of honor, a thing of authority, a thing of character. And like I said, the character defines exactly who you are. That's what gives you your name. So you can call, for instance, Paul, you can call him Apostle. now is Apostle Paul. His name is not just Paul. His real name is what? Apostle. Are you with me? That is his real name. Because that's what he was designed for. That's what he was created for. Okay, let's look at it. Galatians chapter 1. Reading from verse number... Let's look at it from verse 15. Okay, take it from verse 13, whatever, so that we just follow up a little bit. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And then he said, next verse, I profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I confer not with what? Flesh and blood. Did you get that? Where did God call him? From his mother's womb. Just like Isaiah said. Just like we mentioned the case of Jeremiah. Are you with me? So even when Paul was persecuting people, like he was saying, wasted the church, he was an apostle living in ignorance of what God and who God brought him here for. Now, I have to say something here. All of those zeal with which he was killing, persecuting people, was the very apostolic grace that was upon his life that was moving him to do all of those things, but in a religious dimension. What I mean is, the energy with which he was doing that was because of the grace that was upon his life, but he never knew. So he did all of those things in ignorance. But the point I'm raising here is, he wasn't made an apostle in the church. He wasn't made an apostle by people laying hands on him. He was an apostle from his own womb. By implication, he was an apostle in the spirit dimension until his mother brought him forth. Now, the mother and the father is just an avenue. They are just like surrogate channel to bring you here. But there is no who you are originally. Because you are a spirit being, and you must manifest in the flesh as a human being, God will need your mother and your father to come together to donate your flesh. And that is the difference between you and that of Jesus. In the case of Jesus, which is what you call incarnation, the father did not play any role. The mother did, which is Mary. So that according to Hebrews 2, he might bear the seed of Abraham so that he can become he who redeemed his brothers. So the flesh aspect of Jesus was taken from Mary. But this father aspect was the blood of God, which is the life of God, which is the Holy Spirit that walked in the life of Mary to form the seed. Are you there with me? And that is because Jesus existed from the beginning. What I mean, from time, it's not, even when you use the word in the beginning, we are not referring to that when God began. So God does not start from the beginning. So even when you say in the beginning is the word of God, you are not talking about when God started living. God had no beginning, has no end. But when he wanted to become a human being, you cannot begin to read in the beginning. That is to say, the Almighty God stepped into time space for man to be able to handle an invisible God. But he has existed without beginning, without end. But when he wanted to become a human being, he now have what you call in the beginning. Are you there with me? And so, whatever you call incarnation in the life of Jesus is applicable to everybody. Every one of us incarnated The uniqueness of Jesus' incarnation is that the Father did not play any role in terms of Joseph. Are you following what I'm saying here? Good. That is the difference. But everybody, now you can see the case of Jeremiah now. That is incarnation. Incarnation is talking about spirit coming into flesh. That's all. But the case of Jesus was unique because no human outside of Mary played a part in it. But for you, your mother and your father came together. But they were just instruments by which God decided that you come to this life. You must understand that you never chose your parents. They chose you. I mean, you didn't choose them. God chose them for you by implication. That's the simple truth. Because if you were to choose your parents, some of you will not want to be given back to by those who gave back to you. Either because they are poor or they are from certain villages. Every one of you want to come out, maybe in US, maybe in Canada, whatever, as the case may be. You wouldn't want to be born here in Nigeria if you had a choice to choose. But no, God chose your position, He chose your location, and He chose the people that should give back to you. So when you are coming from the hands of God, He gave you direction where to go to and those to father and mother you. Are we still here together? So, in the true sense of it, your parents are just surrogate channel to bring you here. But they may not understand your assignment except God begin to speak to them. It is something that you can discover yourself. And that is why you discover that, for instance, in the case of Samson, God have to specifically mention to the mother, this child is going to be what? In Nazareth. That was a special grace, I believe, that the mother got. Not every parent understands who their child really is. Except, again, you find the case of Moses. And the parents will say, this is a special child. You were able to see something very unique about the life of Moses. Being a savior, being a peculiar child. Those are grace that God manifests. But some of us, our parents knew nothing. I mean, those of you listening to me, they have no idea. And some of you parents, you don't even have an idea about who your children really are. But you see, these children will grow up. That's why you have to be sensitive to begin to follow on from the one who the child is really supposed to be. Because what I'm sharing with you is this. It's possible that God sent you here as a medical doctor. It's possible that God sent you as an engineer. You may not understand. You might probably be thinking, oh, come on, no. Except you're a preacher, God did not call you. That's a lie. I'll make you see that much later. Because the exit of God sending you here is to make life much more better and to reveal an aspect of God to creation. It's a revelation of God's intent for creation. So He sent you here to make life better for other people. Every of your manifestation is to make life better, more pleasurable for other people, to make the world more habitable in revealing the mind of God. Jesus will say in the volume of the book, Hebrews 10, it's written about me to do thy will. Understand that point. What is the will of God for your life? Not just your life now, for Him sending you here. Whatever you are doing should be according to His will. His will is what gives Him pleasure. That is why the Bible tells us that the Lord has created all things for His pleasure. All things, including you, is for His pleasure. So whatever thing you do is supposed to bring pleasure unto who? Unto God. Are you following me? So, you see, the medical world, they are assisting and working and fulfilling the mind of God. Somebody said, but they are not believers. Yes. If you understand what it means when the Bible says, it is God that giveth the power to get wet. If you understand the word power, you understand that it doesn't have to be a Christian for you to truly manifest the will of God. Because you came here for a purpose in that context. Because the word power means skill, it means wisdom, it means talent, it means ability. So the medical doctor has wisdom or certain talent or certain graces. They are still the things sent by God. Hallelujah. Are we still here? I need it to get this. So, Galatians, Paul is saying, But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, hallelujah, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him, the third point, among the Gentiles. I want you to see how specific this is in terms of the name, the word Shem. To preach him among the Gentiles, there was a boundary, there was specification, there was a direction given as to where his preaching should be. That's what gave him his name. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Are we here? Yeah, I want you to get it because this is very important. So that you don't live your life a wasted life. Very crucial. You understand what I'm saying. In 2 Timothy 4:7, therefore, the Bible says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. Now, you see, when most of when people preach this passage, they think, okay, what Paul is trying to say is, well, I've kept the Christian faith, I've been faithful as a Christian. That's not what it means. Why will he use the word my course? He didn't say the course. If we wanted to talk about Christian, he would say the course. But this one, he said my own course. So, now let me show you where this thing is taken from. 1 Chronicles 27:1. Now, the children of Israel, after their number, to wit, the chief fathers and captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers that serve in the king, in any matter of the courses, notice the word courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, every course, were 24,000. That is 24,000 people were assigned to do specific assignment for every month. Every month of the year, 24 elders were assigned to do specific job. Do you understand that? That's why I use the word courses. Okay, let me help you a little bit. Look at what mean Luke 1:5. And verse 8, I'm sure. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was a daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. The course of Abia. Go to verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, was the next thing. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Follow that. His assignment was to do what? Burn incense. According to his course. So, Zachariah was now functioning in the course of Abia, which is actually the course of Abijah. Amen? And that was the 8th of the 24 orders of the courses into which David divided the priests. What we read in 1 Chronicles, even verse 24. I mean, 1 Chronicles 24, you find the same thing. Verse 1, verse 4, verse 10, you're going to see the same thing. David divided the course of the priest into 24 as well, like we read in 1 Chronicles 27. Are you there with me? So, it was the course of Abijah, the priesthood of Abijah, that Zechariah was now functioning. And the duty for Zechariah here was to offer what? Incense in the temple. Are you getting it now? Praise the Lord. Are we here? All right. So, what am I making you to understand? 2 Timothy 4:7, when Paul said, I've finished my course. You begin to understand. By implication, I finished the assignment that God gave to me. Like we read in Galatians 1, 15, 16, 17. Do you understand that? When he said, when he pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb. Right? And what lesson? Asked me to preach him among the Gentiles. So when it come now to 2 Timothy, he said, I'll finish my course. By implication, what God sent me here to do, I've accomplished it. Praise God. Are we here? So, you are not here. I want to repeat and I keep on saying it. You are not here by accident. You are here for an assignment that God actually sent you here to accomplish. This is what defines your life. And like I said, it's not restricted to ministry things that maybe you are supposed to be a pastor to preach. No. Because I'll make you see that as we progress in this study. That's why I find that people like, you know, Genesis 31, you're going to see people like Bezaliah that God said, I called you and my spirit is upon him. For what? For craftsmanship. So, just being an artist to decorate the temple was a calling by God. I remember I said, I call him by name. The name is not just Bezaliah. The name is the definite instruction as to what it's going to be. You know what? You're going to be an artist to design everything that we use in the temple. Because name speaks of the character, it speaks of what? The conspicuous individuality, definite thing that God instructs you to do. Are you following this now? So here we find a Paul looking at the whole thing. He said, I finished my course. What course now? Okay, let's go back again. Acts 13:25. As John fulfilled his course, he said, who think ye that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Look at John's statement. As John fulfilled what? His course. So, here we see, right all the way through from Jeremiah, he's got a course to preach to the nation. We see Apostle Paul. What was Apostle Paul supposed to do? Preach to the Gentiles. And so we see John. What was John's own course? John's course was that he was going to introduce the Messiah, introduce the kingdom, a bridge between the old and the new, baptize Jesus, locate him, show him to Israel, his ministry ends. When John died, people will always say, well, it's because he left the wilderness and went to the city and went to the palace. That's why he was killed. But that's not true. His assignment was over. He fulfilled his course. It doesn't matter. You know, people, I will make you see that in subsequent studies. But I told you here before, I have everything to prove to you. People say Jesus did ministry for 3.5 years. That is not true. Jesus did ministry. He started ministry when he was 12 years old. So if he was 33 years old, subtract 12 years or 3.5 years, you know how many years? I'm about 15 years. He was in ministry, or more than that, 20 something years. He started ministry when he was 8, 12. The very time he was asking questions in the temple and the elders could not answer, that's when he started ministry. That's when he recruited the disciples. And the oldest person among them was Peter. Peter was 18 years and Jesus was 12 years old. What you see when people call 3.5 years was according to the law that you can't start public ministry unless you are 30 years old. So he waited to be 30 years old to fulfill the scripture of not coming into ministry before when you were 30 years. So he came into ministry public ministry, not before now, when he was 30 years. So the 3.5 years were just a period of his, what they call, public ministry. But he had always been in ministry before that time. I'll prove that to you next time. Hallelujah. So, yeah, John fulfilled what? His own cause. You ought to and you should fulfill your cause. Amen. That's why you must know it. Doesn't matter your age or time. It's important. So many of us never get to know what God called us to do until later part of our lives. I'll give you the story here. How my mom used to call me teacher and I said no. Yet when I left school, I became a teacher. How many of you remember that? Good. Until finally the Lord have to give me a scripture, 2 Timothy 1 verse 11, and say you are a teacher, an apostle, and what? A preacher of the Gentiles, right? Remember that. Are you with me? Right. But that's how many years along the line before I get to know that. And that's when I went to God in prayer. So God, who am I? Not just because I carry the Bible. Everybody that carries the Bible is called a pastor. But who am I? I just need to know. And then he gave me that scripture. But before then, my parents called me teacher. So, the point again is, all of the time I spent being a teacher, vice principal, lecturing, whatever the case may be, were just preparation for my real me. Hallelujah. My real me was a teacher of the word. So whatever thing I did, the same thing you find with the life of Peter. Peter was a fisherman. So all the years Peter spent doing fishing was in preparation for being a fisherman. Make you fishers of men. Hey, are you with me? Very good. All the years that mighty spend in collecting taxes, writing names, whatever, as a scribe, was a preparation for him to be an apostle of who? Of Jesus Christ. So the life you live, the life you live in, they point you to who ultimately God intended you to be. Whatever the consecutive job are basically preparation and grounds to unveil your real you to you. Praise God. So John fulfilled his ministry, and the Bible refers to that as what? As a cause. So the cause mentioned in 2 Timothy 4 is in reference to Paul's life as a follower of Jesus, not just in spreading the gospel, but in very specific dimensions of that which he must do. And I will show you a few more things here. Praise the Lord. Are we following? Okay, let me show you. I'll read a few things for you now in the book of Acts so that we can see. Go with me to Acts chapter 9, verse number 11. Using the life of Paul now. And the Lord said unto him, now remember, arise and go into the street. He was speaking to Ananias. Ananias, the one that opened the eyes of Apostle Paul. Is that okay? Right. And here he said, and then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he had done to your saints in Jerusalem. And there has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, that's Ananias now, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. Very specific. Is that okay? Are we here? Now we need to also see the dimension by which he was going to operate it. Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So that's when people also say that Paul made a mistake by going to preach in the temple, they're in error. Because the scope of operation that God gave to him was kings, and which people? Gentiles, and what? Children of Israel. These were the scope by which he was supposed to minister. So, when he was going to the temple, even though they stoned him, they tried to kill him, or fulfilling the aspect of speaking to the children of Israel. Now, remember how many people, King Agrippa, King this, King that, that they arrested him and brought him into, were fulfilling that. Then the next part of it was moving to the Gentiles. This is scope of operation. So, his name as an apostle has a definite scope of operation. And so, I am saying, by the time you find your real you, you should be able to know your scope of operation. That's what makes you your you. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 20, verse number 10. Acts 20, verse number 10. Praise the Lord. Sorry. Look at verse 20. I'm sorry. Acts 22, verse number 20. Acts 22, verse number 20. Let's go there. Acts 22, verse number 20. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by. Now here is Paul contending when the Lord was trying to, if I got him arrested on the road to Damascus. Is that okay? And so we're trying to say, oh, who are you, Lord? And all of that. So he was trying to define who he thought he was. He never knew he was doing all of that in ignorance. So he said, when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death, and guiding the clothes of those who were killing him. You remember, he did all of this thing out of zeal, but ignorance. Right. Verse 21. Then he said to me, depart, for I'll send you far from here to the Gentiles. I will send you far from here to what? To the Gentiles. Get it right. Don't worry. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Now remember, Jesus is speaking to who? To Paul. But this is not when he was called as an apostle. Like we read before in the book of Galatians chapter 1. You remember that? Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 11 now. Go to Romans 11 verse number 13. Very quickly. Romans 11, 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify what? My ministry. Hallelujah. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, so I magnify what? My ministry. What was his ministry? Priest to the Gentiles. Did you get that? So when he said, I finished my course, what was his course? My ministry to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. You following it? Take it again. I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. So you see that? His calling was an apostle for specific direction. An apostle to which people? To the Gentiles. So he finished preaching round to as many as the Lord will cause him to reach. And when he was about to die, he now said, I'll finish my course. So his ministry to the Gentiles was his course. Are you getting it now? Praise the living God. So I am saying, you are not here by accident. You are here for a purpose. And God could just send you to specific people for a specific reason and for a purpose. You walking in the midst of these people is what brings you to fulfilling what? Your cause. Praise the Lord. Now, if you see John, while fulfilling his cause, was actually just ministering to Jesus and for Jesus. Nothing more. Introducing Jesus, causing people to know who Jesus is, And that's all. Nothing more. So, God can just call you just for some people's sake. Oh, glory. Just to cause their ministry to be heard, to be seen, to be known. And that becomes your cause for coming into this life. Is that making sense to you? It's not necessary that you have to be a preacher to have a cause or fulfill a cause. John fulfilled his cause by introducing Jesus, by letting the first comfort of Jesus to be his, by introducing him to be the Messiah to Israel, by speaking about the kingdom, by letting people know that Jesus is a lamb. And remember, people came to him and said, look, this man that you baptized more people, right? What did he say? He said, no man can receive anything from heaven except it's given to him. He must increase, that I must do what? I must decrease. I'm not here to compete with him. I'm here to introduce him, and that's all. And so he fulfilled his ministry, which has to do with his cause. So some of you actually cause for certain people's sake, certain individuals, certain ministries, that you just be a support system for these people. And that's all. Are you getting this? That's all that God requires of you. That is why you are existing. So you need to be able to find out, where am I called? Who am I called to really work with? What am I supposed to do? Like I said before, it could go from whatever you call secular job to people you are assisting in ministry. That becomes your cause. You're fulfilling your cause by just staying with those people. Are you there with me? You can see that again from the life of somebody like Joshua, who fulfilled his calls by staying with Moses. So that ultimately at the end, God now asked him to divide the land for the children of Israel. That becomes his reward for staying on with Moses. That even when Moses, the war was going on, remember, we are told Aaron and all have to lift up the hand of Moses. Support system. Amen. This is just fulfilling your cause in life. So you don't necessarily have to be a preacher before you can fulfill a cause. You can just be somebody that God has called to support somebody who is preaching the gospel. You are fulfilling your cause. If you look at the life of Apostle Paul, you see the people that stood around him, people like Silas, people like Timothy, is that okay? People like Luke, all these people that stood around him, they fulfilled their own causes. They were not specific preachers, but they stood around him and caused it to move forward. And at the end, people like Luke have to be able to put down all that they've discovered in the midst of walking around with Apostle Paul. Praise the living God. So I wish you can catch what I'm saying tonight. Again, let's look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. We started a little bit late, but I'm going to end here. 2 Timothy 1 verse number 10. I magnify my office. I love that. In the book of Romans, I magnify my office. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:10. But it says by hand now, talking about manifestation. So, but now have been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of what? Of the Gentiles. I need you to see that. A preacher, an apostle to which people? To the Gentiles. And so 2 Timothy now, for like we said before, verse 7, he now said, I have finished my course. What's the course now? Very specific here. I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I've completed this assignment. Now I can go. You can finish your assignment anytime. And you can rejoice and be glad that you have accomplished that which God have really ordained you to accomplish. This is why you must know it. This is why you must understand who you are. So, who are you? Why are you here? That's the question we're trying to answer. This will take you back home. You go pray and talk to God. That as you're stepping into 2024, you should also have some directions and to know with faith and conviction what you are doing. If you are called to support a system, you will know this is my calling and I'm going to put all my life there. You call to support an individual ministry, I know this is my calling. Put your life there so that you can, at the end of the day, speak as Apostle Paul said, I'll finish my course. And then he said, a crown of righteousness is laid up before me. Remember that. Verse number 8 of 2 Timothy 4. It's when you finish your course that you can be able to talk about a crown of righteousness be laid up for you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah, because all of this we're saying, you got to understand. Some of you that well, must it have to be? Now you watch this. Somebody that Mary, the mother of Jesus, fulfilled a cause in bringing forth the prophesied Messiah. So, just being a mother is a cause. Come on. Are you with me? That is why you should be concerned about your life, about your ministry, because that itself is a ministry. The prophecy was that a virgin shall bring birth, and then the word came, you find favor with God, the Holy One shall overshadow them by his glory, that holy seed that shall be in you shall be called what? The Son of God. And that's all. What did Mary do? Nothing. But did she fulfill her cause or not? She did. So, even as a housewife, as a mother, you have a ministry to fulfill. And you can come and say, I fulfilled my cause. What is it? I brought forth the messenger that God has in mind. That becomes your cause. Zachariah and Elizabeth, they fulfill a cause. I said, I'm ministering the temple. They brought forth the seed that has to introduce the Messiah. So the whole chain goes through and they are involved in the chain in the course of redemption. The one to introduce the Messiah was given birth to by them. Are you following what I'm saying here? So don't think I'm talking about those in ministry alone. I'm talking about what you can do in assisting the cause of Christ and the cause of humanity on the face of the earth. I always say this. It is most important for you to leave this world better than the way you met it. And everything God wants you to use to accomplish that is already deposited in your life. He wants you to leave this world better than you met it. So there are specific graces in your life that he has given to you to be able to fulfill this cause. And so you need to pray and step into your assignment much more properly as we step into 2024. Know who you are. Know why you are existing. Know who you are. I mean, why are you where you are? Just understand that. That can be only reason why God sent you here. It could be for the sake of somebody. Praise the living God. Just for the sake of somebody. And not anymore. Are you there with me? So, who are you? Why are you here? What is your purpose of existing? This is the point, and this is what we're looking at. Don't forget, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And that word goes to everybody. So you here incarnated using your parents as a surrogate channel to bring you so that you can fulfill a purpose in the hands of God. And don't forget, Exodus 12 verse 7, when a man dies, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. So you were a spirit that came from the hands of God, and you were clothed with flesh so that that spirit can be able to manifest and fulfill specific assignment as a spirit being clothed with flesh donated by your parents, so that when you drop this flesh, you go back to God who gave you the spirit from whom you came from. You came from God as a spirit being, but was clothed by your parents' flesh in order to relate to the environment that you find yourself. Are you there with me? And so ultimately, you're going to go back to Him. So when you go back, will you be able to say you fulfill your assignment while you came here? This is what we're dealing with. And it's very crucial you understand the subject, because it will make you come to the place of satisfaction. It bring you to the place of contentment. You know, you'll be able to know. It doesn't have to do with what people have and what you don't have. No, it's not about that. It's about being in His will and you being satisfied. You are in His will. Are you there with me? Right. It's not for competition. When you get to know this, you get content in the life. It's like you have the parable of, you know, the talent. You give five, you give two, you give one. Everybody don't have equal sphere. What is important is your faithfulness in manifesting the purpose by which He sent you here. Are we together? Praise the living God. Stand up. Let's pray. I just need you to talk to God very briefly, because this is very crucial. This is what is leading you to your next year. I mean, you come into the place of ability to really design and to understand who you are.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org, or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.